Next week, the Group of Eight, the body responsible for driving the global capital machine, will be meeting in Kananaskis, Alberta, not planning how to alleviate economic disparity between G8 countries and the rest of the world, but rather the upcoming summit on June 26th and 27th will, according to critics, only further tighten the economic grip that G8 countries have on the majority of the world's population. Tonight, on this edition of Off the Hour, we'll be looking closer to home to analyze the impacts of G8 policies as it's manifested by the Canadian government. Shortly after Chrétien's trip to Africa, which the mainstream media dubbed as a business trip, Canada's Minister of Immigration, Denis Coutier, lifted a ban on deportations to Algeria. This has resulted in the threatened deportation of nearly 1,000 Algerians in Canada, some of whom have been here for 8 years as non-status refugees. On this program, we'll present a discussion on Canada's recent about-face on the Algerian deportation ban. In studio, a political scientist, Ali Ashim, will be joining us, as well as Nordine, a member of the Action Committee on Non-Status, which has been organizing demonstrations every Monday at 4 p.m. in front of the Ministry of Immigration. What is the relationship between Chrétien's trip, the moratorium lift, and the upcoming G8 summit? Stay tuned. We'll also have a report on the upcoming No One Is Illegal rally in Ottawa next week, which is part of the Take the Capital campaign denouncing the G8 summit in Alberta. This is Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, Community News Department. Request your input and participation. Give us a call, 514-398-6787, extension 2593. Hello, Jen, I'm a man in the mark. Hello, Jen, I'm in the heart. She got pretty other head. The head of the toll of a more. The head of the toll of my head. What have got pretty other head? The head of the toll of my head. What have got pretty other head? Hey, the head of a special edition of Off the Hour, again in preparation of the upcoming G8 summit in Kananaskis on the 26th and 27th of June. We are focusing on our discussion on the economic power of the Group of Eight countries who are planning to meet in Kananaskis next week to discuss not only the economic future of the world's 6 billion population, but specifically to discuss an agenda item called the New Economic Development Partnership for Africa's Development, I think I got that right, or NEPAD. And one of the trips that Jean Chrétien recently took to Africa was dubbed as a business trip by the mainstream media, but was in fact to prepare the way for the acceptance of NEPAD, or this economic package. In studio with us tonight is political scientist Ali Ashim, and we're bringing the focus closer to home to talk about the impact of G8 policy, not only economic policy, but immigration policy in G8 countries and its impact on specifically the Algerian community. Welcome to the program, Ali.
Welcome.
Nice to have you with us. One of the things that I would ask you to do, first of all, is to give us your view of what Jean Chrétien's trip to Africa meant for the the African communities?
Well, it was to prepare the summit, the incoming summit, but at the same time to prepare the the political agenda. And one of the countries that he visited was Algeria, among others. And one has to precise that NEPAD is sold as an initiative from the African heads of state. But in reality, it's a synthesis of all this, globalization scheme, the ultra-liberalism and so on. And it's arranged around, the so-called new technologies of information, because Mr. Bill Gates wants to sell also in Africa. It's around the head of states of Africa who are all delegitimized and they want to legitimize themselves and want money, that investment. Regardless of their behavior on the ground in the field of the human rights abuses and torture and so on. And you have also from the Western countries, especially the institutions of Bretton Woods, this need to open up to constrain the economies of the Africa to open up to foreign investment, which is basically the multinationals. So that's the real situation. And, of course, it has consequences for, as you said very rightly earlier, on immigration policies and all political relations between the states, and in this case, between Algeria and Canada. And it has repercussions in right here in the situation, in the conditions of the refugees from Algeria.
Right here in Montreal, about how large is the Algerian community?
According to Minister Denis Coderre, we are 40,000 in all over Canada, mm-hmm. and we'll be something like 20,000 here in Montreal. And for that, there are something like 2,000 refugees that are in shaky status condition.
It's termed by the Immigration Canada as non-status refugees, individuals who haven't been approved for their status, but up until Chrétien's recent trip...
That's for 1,040 cases.
So there's 1,040 non-status Algerians in Canada.
Yeah, that face expulsions anytime.
And this expulsion mandate came out of Chrétien's recent trip to Africa. Can you tell us what happened after Chrétien's trip to Africa that caused this about face within the Department of Immigration?
We have to be precise about that. When Chrétien was in Algiers, in Ottawa, they declared that the moratorium was,
removed or lifted.
Lifted, that's it, lifted. So there is a direct link, and political decision in order to have, because one of the initiators of NEPAD is President Bouteflika of Algeria. So in order to prepare, for this summit, they had to give that concession. Mm-hmm. And I consider it's concession to the Algerian government.
Well, one of the things that the Canadian media is doing, and our very own public media, the CBC, they've been talking about NEPAD, or NAPAD as they call it, the New Economic Partnership for Africa's Development, as if it was created for and created to by Africans, so created for and by Africans for their own benefit. But it seems like the points that you're raising is that this document is more of an investment plan for Western countries than it is going to bring any kind of economic benefit for Africans.
Worst, in the words of Cam Dessus, the former president of the IMF, it's a program of structural adjustment readjustment, but this time initiated by the Africans themselves. And Africans themselves, we have to precise that it is the heads of state, certainly not the citizens. You will ask the average African in Africa, he didn't even hear about that. He doesn't know what it is.
And you had raised the point that for many of these African leaders, they're seeking some kind of legitimacy. And so for the government of Algeria, what in its relationship with Canada, why would it be seeking legitimacy in that relationship?
I think the case, the real outright case for this search for legitimacy is definitely the case of Zimbabwe. We saw, despite all the guarantees of the West, that Mugabe has just, taken power again by force and without any consequences. So so much for the so-called good governance of, an apartheid. As for Algeria, we know what's been going on in Algeria for the last 10 years and what is still going on. Yesterday, there are some 12 people, or 23, that have been killed, and that was the case the day before yesterday and last week and so on. So the killing is still going on. In Algeria, you play your life, you can quit for work in the morning without knowing that you'll be back home in the afternoon. That's the kind of situation we have. It's a real disaster. People not having water for 15 days, when it's 40 degrees, the heat. It's really despair, and especially you have some 80% of the population who are youth less than 40 without absolute no hope. And 25% of the youth in age of getting married cannot get married because of housing, because of job shortages and so on.
Well, we're going to take a brief musical break and we'll come back. We're speaking with Ali Hashim, who's a political scientist, and tonight's topic is the moratorium lift on Algeria. There is an organization in town called the Action Committee on Non-Status, which has been organizing demonstrations every Monday at 4 p.m. in front of the Ministry of Immigration. And so we'll come back and we'll talk more about what has led to this 80% of the population being less than 40 years old in Algeria. We'll come back and talk more about Algeria's history and the economic agenda, including the kinds of resources that are being targeted in Algeria and how that has influenced the decision by Minister Corderre to lift the moratorium ban. You are listening to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. In studio tonight is political scientist Ali Hashim, and we've been talking about the new economic partnership for Africa's development in the upcoming G8 meetings in Kananaskis, Alberta, which begin on June 26th, next Wednesday, particularly focusing on the impacts on the Algerian community here in Canada. There has been a moratorium lift on deportations to Algeria, and well over 1,000 Algerians now face being returned to Algeria and having their lives essentially threatened. And we'll get into right now why that is the case. First, Ali, I wonder if you could tell us what the experience of being a non-status individual is in Canada. What are the limitations placed on your immigration status here if you're non-status?
When you're non-status, first of all, you don't have the right to work. If you already had a permit, you won't be able to renew it. You have a reduction in all kind of services, you know, no right for Medicare, no right for assistance is terribly reduced. And the worst of it all is that you, at any time, you can be deported. And for families who've been there for who've been here for 5 years, who work and start to know some level of integration, this is just terrible.
For the situation in Algeria, has the moratorium lift, does it correspond to any kind of improvement in human rights in Algeria?
Absolutely not. No improvement at all, because the violence is tied to the infighting within the state between the different clans and the different generals that constitute the nomenclatura. So it's not going to stop. And for the time being, unfortunately, we see no reason why it would stop. So there is absolutely no justification in terms of security, for the lifting of the moratorium. It's strictly political.
Can you provide a bit more context as to the situation that many Algerians are leaving the country? What are they leaving behind when they come to Canada? What is daily life like there for many people?
As I said earlier, first of all, what they leave behind them is that insecurity that when you go out in the morning, kiss your wife and children to go to work, you're not sure you're going to come back. Because violence in Algeria is very tricky. It's like we call it the skin of a leopard. You won't have violence in an area for let's say 2-3 years, and then all of a sudden you will have an outburst without any reason. And it may last 6 months and then move to another place and so on. So it's really very, and especially on the roads, if you happen to travel, you can fall on any, what they call there, faux barrage, a false roadblock by the terrorists that we don't know whether they are Islamists or special forces from the death squads from the army. So in the midst of all that confusion, with the economy deeply penetrated by what we call the mafia politico-financiere, the local mafia, we have heard 3 weeks ago from a former minister charged, who was to do the privatizations, that some investors, foreign investors, has been shot. We didn't know about that. And last week, two members, Lebanese members of the Orascom team, team in the telecommunications, have been killed. And all that has to do with this mafia quarrels for the grab of the different spheres of the economy. So it's so confused. I would not call it complex, but rather complicated and made complicated on purpose. It's a kind of organized chaos so that those who are in charge will remain in charge and will continue to benefit while the majority of the Algerian people will just drift into the misery and, loss of life, daily loss of life.
Well, the moratorium lift that happened while Chrétien was in Africa sent a shockwave through the Algerian community here.
Sure. Because here, the Algerian community, the members of the Algerian community, especially those who come as immigrants or refugees, they realize all of a sudden, remember, 80% of Algeria is composed of youth less than 40 years of age. Many among them never went outside. So all they knew was what the Algerian context was showing them. When they arrived to Canada, they realized, hey, there is a freedom, there is a police that respect people, there is a due process of law and so on. And all that is, all of a sudden they discover, and many of them, among them told me that if there was some kind of paradise on earth, it's right here. You're not, despised and so on. And so for them to be sent back to that inferno, to go back to l'enfer, to hell, of course, it's shocking.
Well, what is it that the Canadian government sees? They're obviously not listening to the Algerian community because they would be against any kind of lift. Is it because of pressure from countries like the United States who are very critical of Canadian immigration policy? Or is it because of these economic packages that are on the table at the upcoming G8 summit with the new Economic Partnership for Africa's Development, or NEPAD?
Not only for the upcoming packages, but for the past packages that, Petro-Canada is very active in Algeria, and so are companies like Lavalin from Quebec. And Lavalin is there working as a cash sex, so hiding the actions, the real penetration of the market by the Algerian market of water by the French multinationals. The General Desault, Lyonnaise Desault, wanted to privatize water here in Montreal. They did not succeed, so they went to Algeria to do that. And that's exactly what they're doing. There are a lot of corruption, billions of, laundering money, stolen by the generals. We hear always the Algerian state saying it doesn't have any money for schooling and so on, but yet they get $20 billion a year from oil. Where does that money go? And we suspect that it's invested all over the world, including here in Canada, for example. I suspect that there are a lot of part of those funds have been invested in that Le Pont de la Confédération. So there are huge interests involved. Not especially Canadian as such, but some companies, specific companies that are powerful in Ottawa.
I think Pierre Pettigrew, our Minister of Trade, would probably at this point interject and remind us all that through trade we can bring democracy. And how would you respond to him?
I think that's the biggest joke. it's a real joke. The Algerian head of state just put five women. Poured five women into the government, just because of NEPAD. So that's not real democracy. It's not real, initiative for promoting the rights of women and so on. It's just a sheer measure to please the foreign powers, and also to give good picture.
Well, we've talked about this sentiment in the Algerian community that this moratorium lift is wrong, and that many people's lives will be threatened if, in fact, these over 1,000 Algerians, some of whom, again, I reiterate, have been here for 8 years as non-status individuals, if they go back, they might not live for very long. There have been weekly demonstrations out in front of the Ministry of Immigration every Monday at 4 p.m., but there was also a demonstration in Ottawa on the 30th of May. And was that a successful demonstration there?
Those demonstrations are not the kind of demonstration that would carry any weight, but those are actions of the last resort. Unfortunately, our community here is not sufficiently organized.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about with solidarity, because we also have on the line with us Karina, who is a member of the Anti-Capitalist Convergence here in Montreal. And there is a demonstration that's coming up in Ottawa next Thursday called No One is Illegal. And I wanted to ask you, we'll come to Karina, who's on the line with us, in just a moment, but what has solidarity been like for the Algerian community on this issue from other members of the Montreal community, for example?
Solidarity is not the issue. The problem is that all up to the 1990s, we weren't very numerous, and we did not feel any need to organize. We were quite happy with our life in Montreal and so on. But unfortunately, with this problem of Algeria and this huge flow of immigrants and we have new kind of problems, and organization takes time. So we are really doing things in order to organize, but this takes time in order to be efficient, to penetrate, to lobby, and so on. That takes a very, very long time.
Karina, I wonder if you can tell our listeners about the march that's coming up next Thursday in Ottawa. It's called No One is Illegal, and is one of the agendas of this march to raise awareness about this deportation lift for the Algerian community?
Well, yeah, definitely. Because as we know, when the G8 is going to be meeting during those 2 days on June 26th and 27th, one of the topics of the day is, NEPAD, the New Economic Partnership for Africa's Development. But there's also another issue at hand, which is the war on terrorism. And obviously, our analysis of that war on terrorism is really a self-serving war for the G8 against civilian populations. Including people, civilians in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Iraq, Somalia, Colombia, the Philippines, and, in Algeria. And the same war, that we can denounce, obviously we're against a war that's imperialist and, that's for profits. The war is also at home, obviously. As we see the moratorium being lifted on Algeria, we're seeing new immigration laws come into effect next week, which are really going to tighten the grip on a lot of immigrants. Now, Immigration Canada doesn't want anybody to apply to Canada. They only want, very well-educated immigrants. They really want a brain drain. And, this tightening of borders isn't anything new. As we've seen it, free market neoliberalism is really, a promotion of the opening of borders for capital, for transnational corporations that can go and invest and exploit anywhere they want. But at the same time, this opening of borders for capital means a closing of borders for people. We're in NAFTA. Canada is part of the North American Free Trade Agreement Agreement. With the U.S. and Mexico, and the border between U.S. and Mexico has been one that's the most militarized in the world since 1994, and that wasn't because there was a war going on, but that's really to stop people from Mexico fleeing situations of desperate poverty and desperate violence that have been inflicted by the policies of the G8, by the International Monetary Fund, by the World Bank, And now, see, it doesn't work if you're going to keep your borders open. If you let people flee situations of extreme poverty that have been imposed by them on them by free trade, then it doesn't work anymore. You can't exploit these labor forces. And that's really something we want to denounce. We want a world where, borders are open to people and not to capital. And we really stand in solidarity with people that are struggling... For for self-determination, indigenous struggles here and abroad, you know, abroad also, and that's why for our march, No One is Illegal, there are a lot of different groups that are working in immigrant and refugee communities. You know, just for example, the Canada-Columbia Network, Solidarity for Palestine Human Rights, PAJU, you know, the South Asian Women's Center, all these groups that do local day-to-day work to resist the policies that criminalize immigrant and refugee communities, and we want to bring these together and go to Ottawa and, you know, denounce this self-serving war that has, collateral damage and, you know, that are imposing effects internationally but also very locally, because you can bring this down to a very local level. It's easy to talk about the G8, and sometimes people don't feel all that attached to it because they don't see the local effects of its policies. But when you think about 1,000 Algerians in Montreal that are going to be deported, then that becomes very real. You know that people's lives are at hand, are at stake, and, you know, I guess that's when you feel compelled to go and do something about it and to be in solidarity with them.
Karina, can you give the information about the march? What exactly is planned for the demonstration on Thursday? What are the demands of the demonstration, and how can people get involved?
Okay, I'm going to start by saying that it's on June 27th at 1 p.m. in Ottawa, starting at Major Hills Park, which is across from the American Embassy. And, well, obviously the demands are, you know, no to war. Obviously we're in the midst of a huge war that's serving the interests of, you know, a capitalist global elite. And so we want an end to war, and it's also a march against imperialism, against racism, for immigrants' rights, for the regulation of all immigrants, of all non-status immigrants. And we want, it might sound very, very idealistic, but it's clear that we want nothing less than a world where people are free to move, to live, to work, wherever they want. And, it's not the multinational companies that should have that privilege, but it's people, and regardless of your social status. And so this march is planned to start at 1 o'clock, and we will be touring different embassies, because obviously Ottawa is the nation's capital. We find a lot of embassies there, and we want to have speakers from different groups talk about the situations in their home countries, be it Palestine, be it Colombia, Mexico, and really address, you know, the violations of human rights that these countries are inflicting upon their population, you know, with the nodding consent, the active consent of the G8. And hopefully we will probably tour around Immigration Canada also to demand more rights for immigrants. And so that's it. And the way to get involved is to come to Ottawa, obviously. There will be buses from Montreal leaving at 9:30 in the morning on the 27th. And for that, you can contact or send an email at takethecapital.net. So that's www.takethecapital.net. And it's $10 to take a ride to Ottawa, and the buses will be coming back the same day. And I really have to insist on the fact that this march is specifically, has a tone which is specifically non-confrontational. We want to be confrontational politically in our ideas, but obviously we want this march to be open to children coming, and also, of course, remembering that a lot of people that are going to be coming are people that have potential, you know, problems with their status, aren't necessarily Canadian citizens, and we don't want them to get into any more problems, because obviously our march is called No One is Illegal, and we don't want anyone to see anyone thrown into illegality, if we can say. So it's going to be a very friendly happening, a nice gathering of people. Hopefully, I think we will be a lot. There are 100 different groups across the Northeast region, Ontario, Quebec, Maritimes, and the U.S. that have endorsed this march and that are actively mobilizing people for it. So We're expecting that it's going to be, you know, the largest anti-war rally since September 11th in Ottawa.
Well, Karina, I want to thank you very much for joining us. And Ali Awushin, I want to ask you, the war at home that Karina describes, do you see it reflected in Canada's immigration policy?
Oh, definitely. I thank Karina for bringing in the issue of the international context. Of course, everything is tied to what happens in Algeria is definitely linked. And I would add that right now, on this day, in Europe, all of Europe is meeting in order to close the borders, to close them even more tightly than they've been already closed for a long time. So we can see that what happens at the border between Mexico and the U.S. is real also in France, is real all over the world. So indeed, and I would add for, you know, in the address of Karina, that it's not forbidden to have ideals, quite the contrary. It's without ideals, my God, you know.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. You've been hearing from Ali Awushin, who is a political scientist based here in Montreal, affiliated and studied at many institutions. We're going to cut out tonight with a PSA just to reiterate the bus information that Karina gave in case you did not have your pens and pencils ready. We have this for you. Get on the bus and take the capital.
Prenons l'autobus pour prendre la capitale. Deux journées d'action contre le G8 à Ottawa, le 26 et 27 juin 2002.
Buses are being organized from Montreal to Ottawa. It'll cost you $10 round trip. Buses are leaving June 25th at night, June 26th and 27th in the morning. You can register for buses by emailing busottawag8@ziplib.com or phone 514-931-2377.
Les autobus sont organisés à Montréal et nous vous invitons à vous inscrire dès maintenant. Les autobus quitteront Montréal le 25 juin en soirée, le 26 au matin et le 27 juin au matin. Vous pouvez vous inscrire en écrivant à busottawag8@ziplib.com ou par téléphone au 514-931-2377. C'est seulement $10 par personne pour l'aller-retour et vous allez chercher vos billets au 1242 rue Mackay, deuxième étage, métro Guy Concordia, sortie Guy. Alors venez avec nous et prenons l'autobus ensemble.
You can pick up tickets at the CFSQ located at 1242 Mackay, second floor, métro Guy Concordia. For more information on Take the Capital, visit takethecapital.net.